U.S.-Russia relations got even chillier today. First, President Obama announced expanded sanctions targeting key Russian officials and lawmakers. Then Russia announced sanctions of its own. 9 American officials were put on a list restricting travel to Russia, including House Speaker John Boehner and Arizona Senator John McCain. As Moscow and Washington continue to spar over the crisis in Ukraine, inside Ukraine itself, they're starting to look to what comes next. That would be elections in May. The BBC's Oleksiy Solohubenko has been monitoring the political situation in Ukraine after a tumultuous few weeks.
If you look at who is running the country, the bulk of the coalition government now is the people from the Fatherland Party. This is the party of Yulia Tymoshenko, the jailed prime minister who was recently released and today returned to Kiev. They are kind of left of center. The other party that is there is more centrist party of the boxing champion Vitaly Klitschko. The party is called UDAR. The punch is the translation. And then there's a third group, which is the far-right party, which is called Svoboda, translated as freedom. The roots of that party were sort of radical right, close to some of the neo-Nazi, neo-fascist groups. But in government, I think they have been more or less responsible. They now have 4 seats in the government. They're quite important, but not that important.
Now, Svoboda, yes. There was this disturbing video released, you've probably seen it, of the acting head of Ukraine's state broadcaster. He's being forced to sign a resignation letter. And in this video, you see a group of men from Svoboda confronting the broadcast executive, his decision to broadcast Putin's ceremony on Tuesday annexing Crimea. So who are these people from Svoboda beating up this TV executive?
Yeah,
it's disturbing.
It's very disturbing. I think it has been condemned and there's been protests by Ukrainian journalists. 3 of these people, unfortunately, are covered by parliamentary immunity.
How is that?
One of them, well, because MPs in Ukraine are protected from prosecutors' abuse. Therefore, before you prosecute them or bring charges against them, you need to strip them of their immunity. One of these people is a very well-known actor. Bogdan Benyuk is his name. He's the shorter one. The one with the ponytail
is... Right, the one who's doing most of the pushing.
Most of the beating and almost the choking of the president of the National Television Company. He is very well-known rebel rouser. And the third one is a very, very right-wing ideologue, Andriy Ilyenko. Their own party has condemned their behavior. But it shows you, you know, that this absolute thuggery that sometimes exists on the periphery of Ukrainian politics... has the spillovers, certainly very, very damaging for Ukraine, very damaging for the government. But these things happen in Ukraine.
But that kind of repression of the press seems to fly in the face of what the entire protest in Maidan was all about, freedom of expression, democratic rights. I mean, what do they believe in if they're going to beat somebody up for broadcasting a legitimate statement by the president of Russia?
No, you're right. They believe that what they believe is right. And they believe that President Putin's address was a propaganda, that it will actually incite more separatism in eastern and southern Ukraine if national television broadcasts throughout the country. I think, you know, while this is an ugly incident, it shouldn't take away from the fact that Ukrainian media has been performing pretty well and reflecting lots of points of view of people, protesters on the Maidan, but also the opposition as well.
There's been an interesting dynamic with the Ukrainian government's reaction to Russia's annexation of Crimea. Kiev insists the annexation is illegal, but its government has also pulled out Ukrainian troops, basically surrendering from a military standpoint. What do you think this says about the Ukrainian government's positions? I mean, what options have they actually left open for themselves?
Well, I think they're still maintaining that Crimea is, was, and will be part of Ukraine. That's the official line. But I don't think this is a realistic line. I think they understand that Crimea is probably lost. Militarily, they know that they cannot really beat the Russians, particularly in Crimea, where they have overwhelming superiority. But I think this is not the end of the story. I think the key thing to watch is not what's happening in the Crimea, where I think it's a tragic story, actually, of Ukrainian servicemen who don't want to join the Russian army, basically being uprooted, kicked out. It's not clear what happens to their houses, what happens to their property there. But in eastern Ukraine, I think there's quite a build-up of both Russian troops on one side of the border and Ukrainian troops trying to protect it. And I think Ukrainian army certainly is much weaker than the Russian army. But still, you're talking about 160,000 plus 1 million reserve. If there is a conflagration there, I think it will be extremely messy. And I think Ukrainian troops will shoot in response or fired upon.
Reporter Oleksiy Solohubenko, who has been monitoring the situation in Ukraine for the BBC World Service. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.